At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, true believers, today you're catching an exclusive preview of our new recap series covering Marvel's What If. Today, Caleb Franz and I discuss the Captain Carter episode, as well as our predictions for the rest of this fantastic season. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this as we cover What If, as well as our back catalog of WandaVision, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, and more, go check out patreon.com/secondprintpod.
What If has finally arrived. Thank you, true believers, for the What If recaps brought to you by the Second Print Comics podcast. I am always here, always marveling at the content that we can get out to you, our humble patrons, but I can't do it alone today. We've brought him back from the depths of the multiverse, Mr. Caleb Franz. Caleb, What If is here to meet your expectations with this first episode.
It is. It is here. I was pretty pleased with it. Understandably, though, this was the first episode, so I think all of the biggest expectations and the biggest anticipations that I have for it are a little bit further down the line. I always kind of figured that this would be one that would be satisfactory and enjoyable, maybe not necessarily the most mind-blowing or the most, like, you know, WTF kind of episode. But I liked it. I overall, there were a few minor complaints that I had with it, but overall, I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of what we've seen so far, and folks, you can go ahead and listen to all of our Disney Plus Marvel recaps. We've done WandaVision, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and we recently wrapped up Loki. You can go ahead and listen to that entire back archive here on Patreon. But, you know, WandaVision episode one was really fantastic. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, despite not being a super stellar series, the first episode we all gave pretty high marks. Same went for episode one of Loki. For this one, like, seeing how it's competing with the trend, I'd say it's probably last, but that doesn't mean it's not good. I was pretty happy with it. And I mean, a few things that we have to really kind of lay on the table. Loki only ended a couple of weeks ago, so we don't have that like month and a half space that we did for some of the other series because it's still so fresh in our mind. Secondly, this is the first animated project that is actually tying in to Marvel canon proper. And they really wanted to emphasize this because for all intents and purposes from Kevin Feige, every new character that we meet in this multiverse run in What If is going to end up in live action at some point, minus maybe Star-Lord Chadwick Boseman. So that means
every significant character that we meet, so like Captain Carter, Doctor Strange Supreme, I is actually going to be playing a very significant role in Multiverse of Madness coming up, which makes me very excited. The Dark Doctor Strange is one of those is one of the episodes I'm looking most forward to. But yeah, like, I mean, we might not see necessarily like every iteration of every character ever, but
just the main ones, the ones that are
significant ones. Yeah.
Which leads us into the protagonist of this first episode. You went ahead and name dropped. We've got Captain Carter. They had been really teasing this for a while. I remember when they first introduced this idea of like a super soldier, Peggy Carter. It was in the Contest of Champions Marvel mobile video game. They threw her into a Exiles limited series a few years ago, which actually brought her into the Marvel Comics world. And so far, much like Spider-Gwen, who started off as a variant cover of an issue of Deadpool, I think, she's really, you know, taken fans by storm, especially in the cosplay community. So it was only a matter of time before she ended up in the show. for all intents and purposes, I think this was probably the best way to start because I'm kind of biased. The first Avengers, one of my favorite Marvel films, is probably in my top five. I think it's a little bit underrated, but it was really nice to see that juxtaposition between where they're changing things and that nostalgia factor of getting to see the moments we loved in that film brought back to life. And I think that's what's really going to be the strength of the series, understanding that the base of people watching this grew up with this from probably like the age of 11, 12, you know, like us up until their mid to late 20s. So like we know these scenes, we remember those moments. And I think that's what's really going to help it. What were your first impressions? Do you think this was the best start for it? Or do you think maybe, you know, they're trying to start a little bit lower? Because that was the complaint of some people. They're like, why did they choose the first Avenger? Why didn't they go in like chronological order? And I'm like, shut up and watch and enjoy.
Yeah. I thought starting in this place was actually a really smart location to start. It's the one that's like chronologically, it's the one that's the most, you know, furthest in the past. And I do think that they are going somewhat chronologically to some extent. There might be some, you know, iterations, but generally speaking, I think that they are trying to do things as they happen for the most part. And I really like seeing Captain Carter. I think so, you know, this is something that I know that you and I don't know if we've discussed this like on any of these episodes, but I know that we've discussed it off air. And like Marvel has sometimes struggled with trying to find that right balance of like female empowerment without becoming like really preachy and really overbearing with it. And I felt like this episode with Captain Carter really struck that balance well.
It didn't feel woke.
It didn't. No, it felt like, you know, there were some comments from like the general or the colonel or whoever it was. But, you know, it made sense in the context of the time and everything like that. If it like happened in today's world, it might feel like maybe a little bit forced, but like back then, yeah, that's absolutely things that would have been said to someone like her. And she wasn't trying to be like, I think what really stuck out that made me really like it a lot was she wasn't necessarily trying to be the female Captain America. She was just trying to be a hero, and that's it, you know? And she did it really, really well. You know, we can get into some of the plot points. I will say I had, I think, two major criticisms that I want to kind of get out at the get-go. The first being the runtime. I thought they crammed all of the first Avenger into 30 minutes. And I thought that was a bit too quick. And even like whenever they were giving some of the dialogue, it was just like super, super fast.
It was truncated, especially the parts with the Red Skull. Uh-huh. And I mean, Hugo Weaving, I think it's really, you know, it's really disappointing that Hugo Weaving never came back to do another Marvel film. I mean, he's really the king of the nerds. And that was kind of disappointing because they got some other guy to basically give like more or less a lackluster evil Nazi scientist type of voice. And, you know, that was a little bit disappointing because they got the look of him, they got the feel of the Red Skull, but it wasn't, you could tell it wasn't Hugo Weaving. Unlike the guy who was the voice of Steve Rogers, I genuinely thought that was Chris Evans.
He did very well. I really liked the Hydra Buster plot line the Hydra Stomper plot line through that as well. But that actually brings up to my second major point. The first being the red time. I thought it was a little bit too short and everything that they were trying to cram into it. Even like it didn't have to be an hour long episode. Even if they gave it like an extra 10, 15 minutes, I felt like that would have given it more time, especially the dialogue scenes. Because obviously the action scenes were hot and heavy, which was probably one of the better aspects of this episode. But the dialogue scenes, I felt like needed a little bit more time to breathe and to sit in. So even if they gave it an extra 10, 15 minutes to just let those, you know, those scenes kind of marinate a little bit. that I think would have worked to its benefit. And then the second thing was that I really felt like I was really excited to see the Red Skull come back. I've always felt like he is such an underrated villain within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and one that does not get nearly enough praise. I thought he was great in the first Avenger, and I was so happy to see him come back in Infinity War. And I was really excited to see him back in his, like, you know, glory days as the Red Skull in the 1940s. And I felt like they kind of wasted him because they just kind of, like, killed him off pretty quickly.
I think that was
kind of disappointing to me. It wasn't like the end of the world or anything. Like, I understand, like, everything they had to try to do. I just kind of wish that they did a little bit more with him.
Yeah, and I disagree kind of on both parts of it in terms of the runtime and those scenes where it's like if they had just spent a little bit more time, this would have really delivered. The runtime actually makes me remember what it was like reading a lot of those What If comics, because here you are, like Age of Ultron, Annihilation, Civil War. You have these things that are going on from, like, you know, 5 to 12 issues, and what they're really focusing on is one major, you know, I'll call it like a crisis point. That's where everything turns into like the what if sphere. And they really tried to focus on just the moments that would have been changed the most drastically. So even with the comics, and I guess that would be a complaint of mine, it was always like, oh, why can't they spend an extra issue doing this so at least they could flush it out? So I think it's one of those moments where it's like it's in the tradition of what if, because I think to the writer's credit, going back all the way to the comics, it really is one of the most playful things that these writers can do, because it's basically fiction writers writing fan fiction. So what it allows you to do is really think about those blind spot moments where it's like, oh, if they had done this, how would that have worked out? I would have wanted to see they basically showed all the major parts, but I would have wanted to see the part where I think it was Peggy goes on the USO tour. I was really upset that they didn't do that. They never showed a USO Peggy. And they obviously explain why they're not going to put Captain Carter up there, because she's a woman and they wanted a guy to do it. So that's one of those scenes where it's like they made fun of it enough, but it's almost like, I would have liked to have seen how it would have been on the USO tour. That was one of the funniest moments of the first Avenger. But so I'll defend the shorter runtime in that. I get where you're coming from, but I think it was short and simple, especially of how long it takes them to make each animated episode. In terms of, you know, the...
Can I just make a point on that real quick? I do think that, like I'm not looking for these episodes to be like an hour long each, you know, but like given the circumstance of, you know, I don't think it needs or warrants like a full length feature film or even an hour. But I do think given that this was the episode that they were kicking the show off, and I have heard reviews about how this is more of an issue with this episode and not in particular with future episodes.
Are future episodes gonna be longer?
No, as in like it's better paced within the 30-minute time frame, mostly because after that, you know, Nexus event, it creates like a completely separate, completely different reality from what we're used to seeing in the movies. Whereas this one stuck pretty well to what we've experienced in the first Avenger. So I do think that complaint of mine is more specific to this episode. We'll kind of see how that plays out with other episodes. But I think given the fact that it was the premiere, maybe we could have been treated to, you know, 5-10 extra minutes to kind of let certain scenes marinate a little bit more. I don't want it to be too much longer, just enough to let us breathe a little bit.
Yeah. And that's what brings me to my disagreement on the other point. As much as I would have loved to have seen more Red Skull, as we've both emphasized, I think the one thing that is here to benefit longtime MCU fans and maybe to the detriment of people who always come on for the next Marvel project. So assuming that this is maybe somebody's first Marvel show film ever, I think they're leaning on the fact that we're already really familiar with these characters. So what they really want to do is they want to emphasize really those Nexus events where it's like, where are the bigger changes? Like when Red Skull brings out the Hydra Kraken, you know, he gets kind of tossed around and then the Nazis basically lose control of it. Like they really wanted to emphasize on how is, you know, skinny Steve in the Hydra Stomper suit and Captain Carter, how are they going to deal with this in the Howling Commando? So they really want to emphasize that change and less what we're already pretty familiar with Red Skull. I will say that the inclusion of that, of the guy who was in charge of the SSR, I don't know if he was the colonel or the general. He was kind of forgettable. I don't remember him in the first film at all.
The guy who was giving Peggy a hard time about it. That's looked not, into that. He wasn't in the first Avenger.
So he wasn't the dude from Men in Black?
No.
Who played the general? No.
No. I think if actually knocked my microphone off the table almost. I think that if you notice in the first opening sequence where, you know, the explosions are going off and everything's going wrong and everything like that, the Tommy Lee Jones character actually gets shot by the Hydra agent. And it's a very quick thing. So you might have to go back and watch it, but I do believe that was him who got shot by
that. That makes a lot of sense because he wore that green uniform that is different than the one that this colonel wears. And because I know where, like, they kind of shoot Erskine like off camera, like you hear him and stuff. That's the why they never show him. I'm wondering if it was more of like a story device or if it was also because they couldn't get the rights to the likeness of either actor, like Stanley Tucci and Tommy Lee Jones, because it is Stanley Tucci's voice.
It is.
But they couldn't show him. So I'm wondering if maybe there's a reason why they also, like, really in a flash showed, you know, Tommy Lee Jones' character, but they don't actually show or have you hear him. I wonder if that was maybe it.
I'm not sure. I do know that the character that was used was in either like a Marvel one shot or maybe he was like something involving Peggy that was like just kind of a one-off. I can't remember if it was like part of the Agent Carter show.
Did you watch that?
I didn't watch it. No, I didn't. I wanted to try to get into it, especially because it didn't last very long. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is something that, you know, and if I feel like if there was anything that could be incorporated from those old like ABC television days, it was probably going to be that one. But until Feige indicates that that's his plan, then, you know, I'm not going to worry too much about it.
There are a lot of people who are upset because, like, it seems that you have a large majority of MCU fans who really don't have a soft spot for any of the ABC shows. I'll even throw in Inhumans because that was universally hated. But I understand why bringing in like this new Captain Carter variant is probably like a nice way to bring Peggy back into the MCU without having really to address Peggy Carter or Agent Carter, whatever the show was called. Because, like, you know, she's interesting enough. Like, Hayley Atwell's an amazing actress. I'm always happy.
I loved her character from the moment I saw her in the first Avenger. I thought she was great, and I was more than happy to keep getting, you know, more of her. I thought she was one of the stronger female leads that that Marvel has introduced.
Yeah, if scrapping Agent Carter means we get to see more of Peggy in the MCU, I'm pretty cool with that.
Yeah, that's fine with me. This guy was in either that or it was like a Marvel one shot. So there is precedent for him in the MCU. It's just not like strong precedent, but it was enough to bring him back.
Yeah, and I'm happy we got to see, you know, the Howling Commandos. I was always kind of upset that we didn't get to see more of them. Mm-hmm. The guy that plays Dum Dum Dugan from what was that show? Justified on FX. And he was on Justified. That was really cool. I just think this is going to be a big nostalgia fest for a lot of people. I know that each series has really been, you know, made in the way that they want to keep bringing in new people, but they still have to give you know, existing MCU fans a lot more of that like story building process that we want. But this is really the series where it's like, if you've never seen a Marvel movie, I don't know how long it's going to take me to explain half this stuff for you, because just the fact that What If is now a show, and it also is not only part of the MCU, but also setting up future films. This is really that point for fans where it's like, you need to either go back and watch everything, or you're not going to understand anything going forward, because this has gotten real meta.
So, you know, I feel like we've crossed that threshold a long time ago. That's always been like one of the things that's one of those complaints from like critics or something that's always kind of annoyed me, like, oh, well, you have to watch all these other ones to be able to keep up with like Infinity War, like whenever that came out. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of the point of this whole thing. It's like, this isn't meant to be just a one-off movie. This is meant to be the culmination of an entire universe.
Like, it was creating excuses for lazy people who wanted to jump on.
Yeah, it's like, no, just go watch the movies. The thing is like, I feel like these, like, you'll definitely feel a more enriching experience if you watch these films. But it, like, to say that you wouldn't get anything out of like Infinity War Endgame if you only watch that one, if you only watch one of those, I think is just not accurate at all. They're still really good movies in spite of like all the precedent that comes before them. And I feel like that's the case with all of these shows as well. And if you're too lazy to go watch all the other ones, then, you know, don't pick it up or do it. I don't really care. Like, I've stopped caring about like what non like fans who's like just watching it for the first time, if they just come in like and check out this show and this is their first experience of the MCU, like, just go watch Iron Man 1 and start from scratch and get all caught up. Like, I'm not really concerned about those people anymore.
Yeah, like, there seems to be this mindset within Hollywood critics where it's like, you know, these comic book films are still just a fad. And it's not like they haven't made billions of dollars and every A-list actor is screaming to voice.
Yeah, exactly. Like, somebody. Who on earth hasn't seen these movies at this point? Like, it's not like this is just some, small B-list, you know, budget film. These, like, it's Avengers Endgame was literally for a good amount of time the most profitable movie ever made. So, like, who are we catering to whenever you're saying, like, well, you know, if you haven't seen this, then it might not connect for you or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think what this show is really going to do is it's going to be at a great bridging period between where phase four has kind of teased us with the show so far and where we're going with really, the people are weighing what's going to be more important, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness or Spider-Man No Way Home. I lean on the fact that Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness,
gonna be Doctor Strange,
it's got to be him because, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home doesn't matter if that film doesn't matter. But what I really love about this is the fact that we kind of get a break from having to worry about things too much week to week, which, as much as I love that, to go from the last three shows to here, I think is nice. I love vignette storytelling in this context. And what I really loved about the beginning and the end of this first episode is they've really kind of set up the flow. Jeffrey Wright is the Watcher. He is
great.
So good. Great. So good.
So good.
Yeah. And HBO Max actually confirmed that he's going to be voicing Bruce Wayne Batman. And I don't know if it's an original podcast.
I think
or something
it is.
Else.
Yeah. I think it is. Yeah.
That's going to be a gritty Batman.
Yeah. I love Jeffrey Wright. I think he's so cool. And something else that I do think is going to work to the show's benefit is it will serve as an enriching experience, but not necessarily required. Even though, like, if like you hear it from Kevin Feige or someone like that, like, of course they're going to say it's required so they can get you to, get your butts to sit down and watch.
Avi Arad used to say that the Amazing Spider-Man films took place between scenes in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah.
So they'll say almost anything to get you to watch it.
They just want you to watch it. But, like, I don't think that you're going to have to watch What If to be able to connect the dots if, like, Peggy Carter if like Captain Carter or Doctor Strange Supreme show up in Multiverse of Madness, I don't think you're going to have to need that, but I do think it will enrich the experience once they jump into live action, which is pretty nice, because a lot of these MCU shows are very like, you have to know like everything. And I just feel like a lot of what's happening here, you don't necessarily have to see everything to be able to get the full experience of it.
Most comparable, like Star Wars, the Clone Wars, Rebels, The Mandalorian season 2.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you don't necessarily have to. Like, everyone knows who Ahsoka Tano is, or, you know, not everyone might not know who Bo-Katan is, but you pick up pretty quickly, you know, their significance in the show. And I feel like that's going to be the same case with wherever these characters show up, whether it be in Doctor Strange or Quantumania, or, you know, wherever else it might be.
Yeah, and as I was saying about Jeffrey Wright, like, they really want him to be like the Rod Serling Twilight mm-hmm. Zone narrator. If they can have him as the Watcher, as a Watu the Watcher specifically, be like the glue between all of these films, give me more. I want to hear those monologues. Also, everyone shut up and just let the man talk.
And also just like the idea, the concept of like an MCU Twilight Zone, isn't that just like so exciting to think about? And honestly, that's like I thought this episode was great. Aside from a few very minor critiques, like the things I said about the runtime and about the Red Skull and everything like that, very minor. I enjoyed this show tremendously. I thought the action was actually really brutal.
It was scene where she takes out the Nazis in the truck. Mm-hmm. That was some pretty hardcore stuff. They didn't even get that far in the first Avenger.
Yeah. And I thought actually the first Avenger was pretty, like, a lot more brutal than what a lot of people remember it to be. I think all of these Captain America films are. I think that it's like the glow of and the film of the 40s aesthetic kind of allows people to forget that Captain America threw someone into a helicopter blade in that movie, and you just saw a spraying blood just come right out of the blade.
His motorcycle had a flamethrower.
yeah, like that was a pretty brutal war movie, actually. But no, I thought that like the brutality of it, and I think we're going to get a lot more of that, which is pretty exciting. But I did think it was a little bit safe for the first episode, I will say, which is fine. Like I like that familiar, you know, being familiar while also being exciting and showing new things. But the things that I'm really looking forward to in this show are, like I mentioned earlier, you know, where we can get really Twilight Zone with it, like Dark Doctor Strange, like the real Age of Ultron, or like Marvel Zombies. Like, those are the episodes that really excite me and really get me going about the potential for this show.
Yeah, and I'd be doing a disservice if I also didn't mention this is also Chadwick Boseman's last performance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He's supposed to be in 4 episodes, apparently, which I'm glad you brought that up, because this roundabout kind of...
Wait, they're going to interlock?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought this up, because I was...
Oh, shit.
This kind of comes to a theory of mine play to happen, that this show is going to be 3 to 4 episodes are going to be a continuous story. That it's not going to be one big overarching, you know, storyline that goes through the entire series, but you're going to have about 3 or 4 different universes where this, where the Watcher is going to follow. And the things that happen in, say, you know, the first or second episode, you'll see the next episode, the next follow-up for that, in, you know, 3 or 4 episodes down the road. Because we do see in the trailers, we do see like Doctor Strange Supreme interacting with Captain Carter. We do see certain characters that we know are going to be in very distinct episodes interacting with other characters who are going to be in other distinct episodes, like Star-Lord Chadwick, you know, Star-Lord T'Challa with
Black Star-Lord.
Black Star-Lord, yeah. with Black Panther Killmonger in the lineup, where they switched out the Avengers lineup and the original Avengers with, like, Killmonger, Gamora, Star-Lord as T'Challa, and Party Thor. And
are they actually calling him that?
Yes, that's
his name is Party Thor.
Yep.
My gosh.
And
Kenneth Branagh is looking at this new age of Thor like, I tried to make it a Victorian Shakespearean tragedy and they made him a joke.
yeah. But yeah, I think that there's going to be three or four storylines that we're going to follow in this show. One of which is going to culminate in, like, Age of Ultron. One of which is going to culminate in Marvel Zombies. One of which is going to culminate in whatever other storyline that they're going to do. And then eventually, because they teased this a while ago too, we're going to get the Guardians of the Multiverse.
Oh, damn.
Do you recall seeing that poster? It was like an official Marvel poster that they put together.
I didn't know if that was actually teasing to something specifically they would do, or if it was just promo material.
I mean, like, there was no official word on that, but it was more or less confirmation, especially with everything else that they've said, in light of, like, yes, this is canon. Yes, you're going to see these characters cross over. I think the biggest question is how many of these storylines are we going to see tie into a nice bow by the end of the season? And how many of these storylines are going to be continued into season two of this show? I think there's going to be a good number that will tie into a nice bow. Like, I think there's going to be quite a few apocalyptic episodes, which just makes me very giddy to think about.
Maybe we'll see Sylvie jump into those.
Perhaps, you know, you never know. I think that the end of Loki and the show are going to tie together a lot, whether it be directly or indirectly. But it's all very exciting. I have a lot of anticipation about this. I think that, you know, the Ultron episode and the Marvel Zombie episodes are going to be my two most anticipated for this, which I think are going to be probably, like, the two last episodes of the show, personally. But
it's a 12 episode season.
Nine
episodes. That's still more than what we've been getting. So, I mean, this is going to be
WandaVision. Good. Yeah.
Well, 9 weeks leading into this, and then it's just Marvel movie back after back after back after back. We are beyond spoiled. Yep. Caleb, we will touch bases next week. Will Howard the Duck defeat Thanos? What is the real Age of Ultron? Are those Marvel zombies coming at us? Or a universe near you? All we can ask is what if.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.